I was really happy. Were you guys happy for the conversation that Karen and Ted joined in their faith discussion, how they presented their faith into our community's discussion of what life and faith is like? I hope so. They were very powerful. Somebody listened to Ted's on the podcast from Kazakhstan. I don't know how they heard in Kazakhstan that Ted was preaching, but they did. Anyway, that was kind of cool. The sermon this morning, I'm sitting here, and I just want you to know it's a difficult text. I'm gonna let it sort of stand on its own. But first, a story. I told this story in the first service as well. My mom has a friend named Norma. They used to go out to eat at about once a week. But everywhere Norma went, Norma found something wrong with the food so that Norma could get a discount. It wasn't that there was something wrong with the food. Norma just did that as a matter of course in her life. If you've ever seen somebody that's that way, do you know what's going on with the waiter or the waitress, the wait staff? You know, they can't really argue with you, can they? They don't have any power to resist you. Unless their manager comes up and says, you know, this is the 17th time this year you've complained about something. But the wait staff, they can't really do anything about that. That situation enters into our discussion of the text this morning. And so I want you to hear that as we do this. If you will bring up the first slide, Jackie, thank you. I will read. This is from James chapter 5. Look here, you rich people. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corroded. Your very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated in their pay. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies. You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. Now you have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned the innocent one who did not resist you. That is a tough word to start out. Do you just feel the Old Testament prophets coming into the room and just slamming down the book and saying, and feeling? We in America are amongst the rich in the world. And as I read this, the story of Norma going out and always finding something wrong so she can get something back just fits right into this thing. She was in the business of accumulating wealth to accumulate wealth. There's a story that goes along with this. I just, as we go in here and begin to talk about this, there's a story that Jesus tells. Remember, if it's in James, it's in Jesus. We've been talking about that as we've been working through here. Here it is, the rich man and Lazarus. This is from Luke 16, starting in verse 19. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day, and at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with and what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in the flame. If you're one of these people that trust in yourself, that trust in wealth to do this, you might be Or maybe you just know somebody that's like this, that just trusts this way, and pretty soon you're quibbling over pennies when you have dollars. I'm just going to find something wrong with the meal, and then I can save $2. But you become, after a while, by habit, the rich man in the Lazarus story, where even after he's dead and he's being punished, if that's the story, right? He's being punished. He's in hell, or the place before hell, or the place of anguish. And the first thing he does is he begins to order and ask Abraham to send Lazarus, who was clearly not his equal on earth, now be my servant again. So what happens in this is, when you begin to get rich and you begin to see it as an end of means and you begin to trust in it, it starts to change your heart, so that it sort of purchases your heart in such a way that soon the rich and the wealth is much more valuable than the people around you, and you start ordering them around. Do you see that in the text? Here's what it says here. You're rich. You weep and wail for the misery that's coming upon you. That's the first section of this text. Your riches, they rot and rust. Now, James knows that gold and silver don't rust. What it is saying, though, is that the gold and silver that we put our trust in are not capable of doing what we're hoping they do. All we have to do is go back about 8 years to find out what happened to all our retirement accounts. Isn't that right? Didn't something happen? And everybody's sort of starting over. It's happened multiple times throughout the history of humanity that wealth just doesn't, it isn't the refuge you think it is. But when you build your heart there upon that, pretty soon people start to matter less and less, and you start to grind them into this. And this is the thing. It says, your bad deeds, they give evidence and they cry out to the Lord. So Genesis 4:10, when Cain has killed Abel, and God says, where's your brother? Don't you hear the blood of your brother is crying out to me? This is not the whole text, though. Next slide here. We'll put this on here. You have condemned the righteous one who does not resist you. That's that verse 5 or verse 6 right on there. If you do this, pretty soon, not only will you treat people not very well, but you'll be the high priest in Israel at the time that says this. Are you ready? It's better for one person to die than for us to lose our place as a country. Which the Bible records him saying that. It's better that one person should be, we could just give up one, as long as it doesn't cost us our place in this game of King of the Hill. Have you ever been in a place where everybody's just trying to get ahead and they don't care about anybody underfoot? They just trample. That's what's going on here. But if we do this, if we then turn the text on its ear, let me read the next one and you can go to the next slide. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient and wait for the Lord's return. Now, instead, if you come down this, and all chiasms do this, they echo through that center text that's going on here. So if you build from weep and wail for stuff coming in the behavior of the rich, and you get to this spot, then it echoes back through. If you pay attention to the one who is condemned, who does not resist, that behavior starts to change. You become patient. Look to the patient. Look to the farmer who's patient. Consider the farmers who wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Now, suddenly there's a difference here, and I forgot to say this in the first service, but if you base your heart and everything in your life upon wealth and the Lord is near, Can you imagine what it's like if you've never sought forgiveness from anybody when all the crying out of all those deeds comes forth to the Lord's ears? But if you pay attention and you start to seek forgiveness and you start to treat people well, then you become this patient until he comes, the next behavior. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. And you don't have to grumble about it anymore, because on the other side, you used to say, well, the deeds cry out for themselves. Doesn't Abel's blood cry out from the ground for the misdeed? For examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers, look to the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, and the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. This is where we're at. I find Job really an interesting play in there. Wasn't Job wealthy? Should we read about Job's life description at the beginning of the book of Job? In Job 1, 1 to 3, let me just tell you, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name Job, and the man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters, a sign of being blessed. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen. That's that. You're talking about does anybody run livestock here? Is anybody any experience with livestock? How much livestock is that? Yeah, this is a lesson Marika learned when she was doing lambing one year, and they were giving these lambs, and she's going, what do you name them? And the person said 609, 610, 611. That's what we knew. When you have 7,000 of something, you don't name them Bob or Shirley or anything like that. You give them numbers. And 500 female donkeys and very many servants, so that the man was the greatest of all the people in the East. Didn't we just hear a text that was saying, you rich and wealthy, wail that the stuff's coming upon you? Now, this is not a text against wealth. This is a text against basing your heart on wealth. The James text specifically says where you put your trust is the big deal, not whether you're wealthy or not. Now, you might be wealthy, but base your heart on trusting the one who did not resist. Let's go to the next slide. So here's the first line. You rich weep and wail for the misery that's coming upon you. You have condemned the righteous one who does not resist you. But the other side of that coin is if the Lord is standing at the door and you're rich and wealthy and you base your life that way, you should weep and wail. But if you base your life on the Lord, then the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Next slide. Again, here we go again. If you base your life on riches that don't work, right? Remember the long time story that the streets of heaven are paved with gold. What's the point of that? The things we count as valuable here are like pavement there. If you think the picture language of heaven is that way, here it is. The riches that rot and rust, they themselves will give evidence against you, but if you pay attention to this one condemned, the righteous one who does not resist, you're not going to grumble. You don't have somebody grumbling against you, and you don't do it either. There's no murmuring going on. Do you know what murmuring's like, don't you? It's like you hear somebody talking about you behind your back, but you can never quite hear, and your ears just sort of, and that's not going to go on. Be like the prophets with patience and endurance. Who were the prophets? The prophets were people that the true prophets were often treated very badly in ancient Israel. Some were quartered and some were thrown in wells. They didn't base their life upon the riches and wealth, because if they did, then everybody would have liked them. But instead, they went and said, not you. You need to stop doing this. Next slide. So what's the difference between us and the world today in where we live? Are your hearts fattened by the luxury and you just forget? Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Or do you pay attention to this righteous one who did not resist? And do we become patient until he comes? Do we keep our eyes open and we don't forget this life situation that we're in? The way life is that if the judge is at the door, the way you've lived your life makes a difference. Next slide. I need you to hear four things from me today. If you haven't heard anything else from this, this is it, okay? Wealth will not provide you the security that you're after. I hate to tell you this, but when you die, it doesn't do you any good to have it with you. It just doesn't. Accumulating to accumulate will lead to judgment. That's just it's almost an axiom of, if I'm going to do that, not because having money is so bad, but in order to accumulate, if that's what you're doing, you're pretty soon going to treat people badly. You're going to grind them under the thing. You'll be treating the wait staff at the restaurant like they don't matter. And they do. And they do. They're actual people with lives. Those of you who interact with them outside of their restaurant life know that, don't you? Be patient and endure. There's no need to be judgmental, even about the people that are grinding you into dust because you don't resist or you don't have any way to resist or they just are taking advantage of you. There's no need to grumble over that. The deeds over there will handle themselves. You take care of your own heart. Last one. I just love this one. God is so merciful. If you wonder about how that plays out in your life, you could go back to the prophets. I love the story of Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Why? Because he knew God would be merciful to Nineveh, and he didn't want mercy for Nineveh. He wanted Nineveh destroyed. And he says, if I go and I preach your word there, then and they repent and they change their ways, you'll be merciful and not destroy them. I don't want that, so I'm going to go the other way. But God was merciful. And if he's doing it there, I love the line in Jonah when God's talking to him. There are lots of people and cattle in Nineveh. Shouldn't I care about them? So you think God only cares about people and it's just this little piece of self. No, he cares about our practices and the way we are in the world and all this. And he is always merciful. May we always be that people that live and pay attention to the one who is righteous, that did not resist, but makes our hearts better. Will you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for the change that you have wrought in our lives. May we then not grumble, but also then make changes in the way we live so that others might see you and us and lift you up. For if you be lifted up, Lord, you will draw everyone to yourself. In your precious name, Lord Jesus, amen.